You know, Patrick, have you ever seen a hot dog cooking at a baseball stadium for an extended period? I mean, by the time you get to like August, it's been there steaming for a while.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Still delicious with mayonnaise. Or mayonnaise mustard. Mustard. Still delicious with mustard. That's what it feels like outside right now. It is. I hiked the Heritage Trail. That's the trail downtown. Stone Arch Bridge down the riverfront to Hennepin, across Nicollet Island, down St. Anthony, back to the Stone Arch Bridge. It's about 2 miles. If you do the Xcel Energy Center area is open up, you can walk right down by the waterfall. It's about a little more than 2 miles. And, it was out there. Every step I took, it just felt – it kept getting hotter and hotter. And by the time I got back to the park – is it Heritage Park that's over there right by the Stone Arch Bridge on the St. Anthony side? By the time I got back over there, I was like – it was like, okay, this is really uncomfortable. The dog's looking at me like, I hate you. I mean, this is not pleasant. And, yeah, it's a roasty one today. Today and tomorrow, chance of some storms as well both days. So just keep an eye on the weather forecast if you're heading on out. It's just a touch warm. I'll put some pictures out. The Heritage Trail, by the way, if you haven't walked that hike, that's a nice hike. That is a nice hike. And I love you, Minneapolis. I've gone out of my way to go back into Minneapolis as many times as I can here in the last few days just because I'm not quitting. Are you kidding me? I love this town. Still social distance and had my face mask on, but Democrat of the day, let's do this. 25B, Liz Bolden is running for that House seat. It's an open House seat. DFL currently holds it. Make sure we hold on to the seat. Liz is kind enough to join us today to talk about her campaign. Hi, Liz.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. You are, we should mention 25B, that's kind of the north side of Rochester, correct?
It is. It's about the northern third of Rochester. That's right.
All right. So you are one of the few places in the state that gets hotter than us. are you doing okay down there today?
I am. I love this weather. So this is just how I like it.
You're like my wife. I am a northern Minnesota kind of guy. I'm like 65 to 75. That's my window. Anything out of it, it doesn't feel right. But you're like my wife. She gets up in the 80s and even low 90s, and she's like, this is perfect.
Agree. Completely agree. I'm sitting outside right now.
Wow. Good for you. I'm sweating thinking of you sitting outside. Liz Bolden, let's find out exactly who is Liz.
Yes. So, again, thank you for having me. So, I am a nurse and I'm a mom. I have been caring for people most of my life. My first job was as a CNA in a nursing home when I was 15. And a job that was really hard, but I loved it. And it taught me a lot. And that led to my becoming a nurse. And after graduating with my bachelor's degree in nursing, I moved to Rochester to be a nurse. I didn't expect to live here forever. I sort of thought, oh, it'll look good on my resume, and then I'll move someplace warmer. But 18 years later, I am still here because I love it here, mm-hmm. and this is home, and this is where I want to be. And so I'm very much an introvert, and it was not my lifelong goal or thinking that I would run for office. I have certainly worked behind the scenes and sort of quietly on issues that I am passionate about for a long time. But long about 2016, I realized that working quietly behind the scenes was not enough and that I felt like I really needed to do more. As I said, I'm a mom. I've got 3 kids. I have a daughter who is grown and out of the house and in the Twin Cities, and then 2 teenage boys at home. And so I feel like I need to be able to tell them that I have done everything I possibly can to make the world a better place for them. And so I am looking to use my voice instead of being an advocate for patients and families like I've done for a long, long time, to be an advocate for all Minnesotans and to be part of building a just and inclusive Minnesota that works for everybody. The theme of my campaign is what I hope to lead as a legislature as well is all in. For a couple of reasons. One is that I am all in. I am a really hard worker, and I am all in to do the work on the issues that I care about, and that will make the, as I said, Minnesota a just and inclusive place for everybody. And then the second piece is all in because I want everybody to be all in. I want to be sure that everybody has a voice, everybody is cared for, everybody is safe. And so that's what I'm trying to do.
Let's go back a little bit here. You're not the first person I have heard who said they've gone to Rochester for a job thinking, oh, it'll be a stepping stone. I'll get back into Minneapolis or Chicago or something like that. And they're like, I'm not leaving because Rochester is one of those places that's really I've lived in small town America. Most small towns, most small cities, they don't have what Rochester has, and it is truly its own little unique area, and it's adorable. Frankly, it's adorable.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a fantastic place to be. It's a great place for families. It's a great place for everyone. We've got a great mix of, and it actually is increasing. Of maybe not right now, is where people aren't out and about doing things as much as maybe before. But you know, we've got cute little restaurants, and cute little independent movie theater. And I mean, there are things to do here where there didn't used to be as much. And so it's a fabulous community. There's great neighborhoods. We've got great schools. It's an excellent place to be. And there's nowhere else I would rather be.
I don't know any politician from the Rochester area where healthcare isn't a priority. You yourself, your life has been, surrounded by it. I found it very interesting. 15 years old, you're working in senior homes. That's, you have definitely got a life experience here. As you talk about that decision to run for office, talk about where your frustrations with where we are going and what you were seeing as far as healthcare and healthcare for the society, where that crosses over and what you want to bring to for your District 25B in St. Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, as you said, as a nurse, healthcare has always been near and dear to my heart. And right now, as we're in a global pandemic, healthcare is certainly at the forefront of most people's minds right now. And so I think there's a couple of things with that. We need to be sure that everyone has access to quality and affordable healthcare. We're seeing right now with COVID-19 that, millions of people have been out of work and lost their jobs. That also means that they have lost their health insurance at a time when we are in a global pandemic. And so that is a problem. We need to get away from having our healthcare tied to our jobs. Everyone is deserving of health care. It's a human right. We need to be sure others are cared for. And we're seeing right now that, the health of my neighbor affects me as well. So it's not only the ethical and right thing to do to be sure that everyone is cared for, it's the practical thing to do to be sure that everyone is cared for. We also need to look at disparities within our healthcare systems. We are seeing that come to light, certainly now, again, with COVID-19. There are differences and racial disparities that we're seeing with that, and we need to address that.
Especially as we get in, you're talking about racial disparities. I don't know if you saw the story the Star Tribune yesterday, where they're talking about the COVID-19 and the fact that it is affecting African Americans and Hispanic citizens far more than it is the Caucasian population. And I'm not saying the Caucasian population is getting off easy here, but there is a very in the aftermath of what happened with George Floyd, we are starting to have some real good discussions here about, the differences between the classes and what is available to the Caucasians and white of America that is not generally available there. From your perspective, how is that something we can address? I mean, from a legislative aspect, how can you look at making sure that that system is more equitable?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that is something we absolutely need to look at. And something I think that isn't talked about enough is that sometimes we talk about, oh, the system is broken. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not. The system is working exactly as it was designed to work. That's how systems work. And so we need to dismantle the system in terms of those racial disparities and create a new one that is equitable and works for everyone, because we are absolutely seeing that it's highlighted with COVID-19, but COVID-19 didn't create these issues. We had disparities before. They're just more, we're seeing them in a way now that we hadn't seen them before. And we being white people, because people of color, black people, they know that these disparities have existed. It's largely white people, we didn't recognize this, and many of us, and see this beforehand.
Well, and I love what you just said. The system works. The problem with healthcare in America isn't quality. It's the best healthcare on the planet. It's accessibility. And it always has been accessibility. This was the entire point of the Affordable Care Act. It was the entire point of this. And it's got to be frustrating that we as a healthcare professional, I've talked to many doctors and nurses who said, oh, good, we finally started to address it. And now they're trying to undo the whole thing. And not only that, but they've got their eyes on Medicaid, Medicare as well as undoing that. You know, the reality is that we shouldn't have a society with the quality of healthcare that we have, the ability to save people's lives, to extend life for all Americans. We shouldn't have a system where we're looking at the 1880s as our role model.
Absolutely. And in a time, again, I'll go back to, you know, we're in a global pandemic. And so to be having discussions about taking healthcare away from people in a global pandemic is unconscionable. And it doesn't have to be that way. And so that's why, you know, one of the reasons I, you know, it's so important to, you know, to vote for people who share your values.
Liz Bolden is joining us right now. She's the DFL candidate here for 25B. Let's talk about one of the things I definitely like to talk to people about in Rochester is you guys have, I'd say in the last 20 years, there's been some nice steps forward as transportation down in that area. But transportation is another issue. And it's not just one of the things which I want to make sure this is not about just making sure the highways to Minneapolis, St. Paul and to Rochester are good. I mean, you have a growing city. And as we've seen, I mean, growing cities need an effective transportation system. Rochester does pretty good, but there's a lot of areas where they need, I mean, as that growth continues, and, you know, it's one of the attributes of Rochester. Like you said, you move there, people stay there. Talk a little bit about what you'd like to work with in the district, in your district particularly, as far as transportation issues.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you're right, we are an expanding community. And so transportation is key, and accessible transportation, affordable transportation. And I also would pull in climate change to this as well, climate crisis, and making sure that we are having building infrastructure and transportation that is climate friendly. And so, you know, there's different aspects of that. And certainly I think transportation, as you mentioned, between Rochester and the Twin Cities is one piece of that, but also transportation within our community. And so whether that's busing, there's been you know, movement with bike lanes, and there's, you know, a lot of discussion about that, and people feel very strongly one way or the other about that. But as we grow and expand, we absolutely need to keep in mind how do we build that infrastructure of transportation systems that work for, again, that work for everyone.
One of the issues that I've talked with a lot, and not only in areas in the metro area but outstate, is the broadband issue. Now, most of the metro areas, I'm going to believe 25B, looking at the map of your district, it's relatively, you know, you've got good internet access here. But we're talking about, as we change in medicine, accessibility, as we're talking about, the ability of the Rochester doctors to be able to service a much larger client base, especially rural Minnesota, where we have seen the closing of hospitals in rural Minnesota, it might not necessarily be an issue that affects you directly as far as your local citizens, but it's definitely something that as we talk about healthcare, we talk about the business strategy for Rochester, a broadband expansion through southern Minnesota. It's different because a lot of communities are like, we don't even have internet right now, so we need broadband. But for you guys, it's kind of getting ahead of the wave there, where you can say, you know what, let's have Rochester doctors in these rural communities where they don't have a hospital, so that we at least give them some, you know, broadband online medical treatment and see where we and where we need to go from there.
Absolutely. It's a very important issue, and for multiple reasons, one of which you just said it, and we are seeing, again, COVID-19 has brought us to look at things differently, and so that telemedicine is absolutely important. And so for us here to be able to connect with people all over the world and all over rural Minnesota, broadband absolutely is a piece of that and is very much needed. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
A delightful trip down to Rochester. I'm going to encourage everyone to head on down. We are in the age of COVID-19, which means that volunteering particularly takes a different face. But donations, there are needs for volunteers. If you're in a DFL district, and especially Minneapolis, St. Paul, where you're relatively safe, great. Help out your local politicians, your senator in the House, by all means. But then take some time and get down. We need to hold 25B. This is, like I said, it's Rochester. It's currently held by the DFL, but we need to make sure the DFL is holding the seat to maintain that House majority for the DFL. If anyone would like to help out, donate and volunteer to your campaign, Liz, how do they do that?
Absolutely. They can visit my webpage, which is lizbolden.com. bolden.com. Bolden is B-O-L-D-O-N, like bold on the issues. Or check me out on social media. Certainly I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Happy to have help from anyone who would like to volunteer. We are doing phone banks every Tuesday and Thursday evening, reaching out to folks and hearing what's important to them. I am doing every Saturday morning. I'm doing summer Saturdays with Liz. So every Saturday morning between 9 and 10 a.m., I have an open Zoom call. You can get information about that on my webpage as well. I encourage anybody to join me and just pop in. And if you want to ask questions or share what's important to you, we'd love for people to get involved.
LizBolden.com, LizBolden.com, LizBolden.com. I'll link to everything a little bit later on. Liz, all my best. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
You too. Thank you so much.
Liz Bolden, 25B, Democrat of the Day. Let's take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
If you're looking to save money on your home or building improvement project, check out Better Futures Minnesota's reuse retail warehouse in South Minneapolis. We carry salvaged building materials such as cabinetry, flooring, plumbing fixtures, appliances, lighting, and more, saving you money and saving the planet by keeping these items out of the landfill, by giving them another life. Selections change daily, and we also take donations. Go to betterfuturesminnesota.com and look under Reuse Warehouse to learn more. Let us know AM 950 sent you.
Hi, this is Chad from AM 950. Whether it's storm damage from the past or a new issue that's popped up over the years, Snap Construction is the company we trust for all roofing, siding, windows, and exterior construction needs. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, and window company in the metro. Ryan has worked with many of our listeners and is excited to help more.
Thank you to all the listeners we have worked with and all the listeners at AM 950 that we haven't had the opportunity to work with yet. This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. Safety of our homeowners and our team at Snap Construction has always been the utmost priority. We are still offering free, no-contact estimates. This summer at Snap Construction, we've rolled out a new referral program. Mention AM 950 and we'll make a donation to the station in your name. Together, we can all work to ensure AM 950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. Call for your free estimate today. 612-333-SNAP. 612-333-SNAP.
Hi, everybody. This is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to a great new episode on the Wall of Power Radio Hour this weekend. We feature an artist named Lisa Michelle Anderson, who used to play in the Twin Cities in the 1980s and 1990s. That's Lisa Wooster. She has a great new record out called Quincy Street EP. We play tracks off the record and get caught up with Lisa, and she's got a great story to tell. 6 p.m. on AM 950 on Saturday nights. The Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Nightingale at 26th and Lindale in Minneapolis can't wait to see you when they open for patio and indoor dining later this summer. But right now, they're open for curbside takeout and wine every day from 4 to 9 p.m. Offerings include the famous Nightingale Burger and Fries, Ginger Tamari Chicken Wings, Duck Pastrami Reuben, Picnic Snacks, Provisions, Chocolate Pot de Creme, and more. View the menu at nightingalempls.com or call 612-354-7060 to order. And make sure to ask about Nightingale's gift card specials and staff support t-shirts.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Thanks, Liz Bolden. Let's hold 25B. That would be very nice. We should do that. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I want to take some time. You know, yesterday I brought up the story about a union representative, Minnesota Police Union representative, Sergeant Anna Hedberg, who you might actually already know. I'll get to that in a second. But once again, the power in the city of Minneapolis to deal with an out of control police force, and this is, and Patrick, you're hearing me say this once again, this is not about the St. Paul police or the Bloomington police or the Duluth police or the Rochester police. This is not about the Edina police or the Richfield police the Maple Grove police. This is not about any – it's not about State Patrol. It's not about the county sheriffs. It's only about the Minneapolis Police Department, which seems to have so many problems it's not – I mean it's hard to fathom. Not only do we have the murder of George Floyd at the hands of police on tape – we had the body camera footage, which showed not only was there just an insane – this wasn't one mistake. This entire process, the training that they teach the Minneapolis police is non-existent. It's non-existent. They never told the guy the charges. They never said it is. They had this gun out on him, on George Floyd. I mean, it was disgusting. I said early on in this entire process that the police union needed to come on out, because the way that the city structure is, the city can defund the police. And trust me, right now, the police, the people of Minneapolis do not like the police department. And if they put anything out there about defunding the police, reorganizing the police, whatever, it's going to pass, because they don't like you, because you're not nice to them. The Minneapolis police are an abusive relationship to the citizens of the city of Minneapolis. And that is disturbing to say, but that's exactly what it is. And initially, you know, I said, you know, if they came on out and acquiesced and they basically said, we are really sorry, sure, we'll take into consideration any ideas, any new thoughts, any things like this. We'll listen to the people, we'll change the rules and everything, and we'll have a complete change of leadership in the union. Maybe, just maybe, then the city council might have stepped back and said, oh, okay, you know, all right, maybe we can work with what we've got here. Instead, it was a – well, first of all, Bob Kroll came out with that letter that was sent to the media by former Chief Hartow, who basically said not only what was George Floyd – you know, we don't know the full story on George Floyd, implying directly that George Floyd somehow deserved to be murdered in the street outside of Cup Foods, but as well that the police officers should not be facing charges but should have their jobs back, that he was working with Paul Gazelka to overrule and overthrow, usurp, however you want to say it, Governor Walz, that there is all sorts of things. Then they came on out and they said, well, we're willing to tolerate the citizens of Minneapolis telling us what they want, but we're not going to change leadership and we're not going to give any guarantees. And it was like, wow, you guys are just being massive jackasses about this. Well, here we go, defund away. There was in particular a clip, and a lot of people pass this around. City Pages had this. This was this had featured a plucky young officer from the Minneapolis Police Department, a Sergeant Anna Hedberg. She explained why she couldn't have she shouldn't have to live in the city of Minneapolis she polices. The CBSN Minnesota clip captured by Wedge Live and tweeted this morning has been viewed more than 20,000 times. Here is the quote. At the end of the day, if we live in the city, that means we have to shop where criminals that we arrest also shop, Hedberg says. And by the way, City Pages edited in here. Yes, indeed, you do. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to go to Cub Foods with my two beautiful little girls and run to somebody that I've arrested for sexual assault, shooting someone, using heroin. Wow. Minneapolis police arrest people from all over the state, though, CCO's Jason DeRusha counters in the Ville video. It's not like you're hidden from that potential encounter. Imagine this being this afraid of the community that you're supposed to protect. And this is Anna Hedberg. This is Anna Hedberg making this argument that basically the way that the police look at the city of Minneapolis, all of the people that live in the city of Minneapolis, is sexual assaultants, shooters, and people using heroin. That's how she kind of views you guys. Is it any wonder why the cops are so bad in that city? And this I'll add this. This is from City Pages. If our terrified mom here follow her own line of thinking a little further, she might realize she's actually making a pretty good case for abolishing the police. Maybe if you felt a little worse about arresting people, you wouldn't do it so damn much. Maybe you'd think about the consequences of arresting people if you were forced to think of them as people who live in your city instead of criminals. Good point. That was a good point. So that's Anna Hedberg, which was kind of interesting because Anna Hedberg showed back up. And this was the story from yesterday. A Minneapolis police union official claims she heard Governor Walz ordered a police precinct abandoned at the height of the May rioting. Now, I want to make sure I'm clear here. She says, I heard Governor Tim Walz order this. Then appeared to backtrack after the governor's office said a statement was false. The decision to abandon the third precinct was among the most controversial decisions made by the government officials during the civil unrest that followed the May 25th death of George Floyd. Mayor Jacob Frey has long said the decision to give up the precinct was his to avoid a clash between police and demonstrators. Wednesday, three union officials told a Senate panel investigating the spring rioting, the morale among Minneapolis cops has dropped to an all-time low. But it was, well, maybe because you shouldn't be such jerks to the people you live in the community that you're supposed to please. I'm just going to say it. Maybe you should be looking in the mirror, jackasses. I'm just saying. But it was Sergeant Ann Hedberg's comment about the precinct that drew the most attention. So once again, here's our terrified mom. All Minneapolis, you know, is apparently inundated with rapists and heroin users. This is Anna Hedberg. I was in, and I'm paraphrasing that before she, you know, anyone comes back. How dare you? No, go back to listen to what you said on that video. You're the one that said it. So this is what Anna Hedberg said to the Senate. This is what she said to the Senate hearing. I was in the command post and I heard it. I heard the governor say, give it up. Hedberg, a Minneapolis Police Federation director, told senators, wasn't directly to me. It was through a phone call of how the governor says, give up the precinct. Now, I'm going to reread this. This is what she said. I was in the command post and I heard it. I heard the governor say, give it up. Wasn't directly to me. It was through a phone call of how the governor says, give up the precinct. In an interview after her testimony, Hedberg told Fox 9 she heard the information third hand. Now, that's not what she told the Senate. She didn't say, I heard this third hand. Once again, I was in the command post and I heard it. At no point does third hand come into play. Seconds after Hedberg made her comments at the Senate hearing, a wall spokesman texted to say, and I'm presuming texted Fox 9 News here, that's not true. The governor never called the Minneapolis Police Department Command Center, did not give any orders to police during the unrest. He said the only decision Governor Walz made involving the 3rd Precinct was the mission he ordered to reclaim the building early Friday morning after it was abandoned Thursday night, said a Walz spokesman. So, once again, she could not have heard, as she says, I was in the command post and I heard it. She could not. That is what we call a lie. So it led to an interesting question. Was she under oath? Because if she was under oath, well, now she's committed a crime and should be charged. I've talked to someone who's an expert at the Minnesota Senate, and here's the answer I got. No one takes an oath at a legislative committee. Also, because this is interim, so it's kind of the special session, it was an informational hearing only, and there's a Senate rule, 57-2, that a lobbyist shall not furnish false or misleading information before the Senate or any of its committees. Now, it's question on whether or not, as a member of the union leadership, she would be considered a lobbyist for the union. So technically, she might have broken the law if she is technically a lobbyist for the union. But that's kind of a reach. I'll be the first to say. Technically, she likely isn't in any official jeopardy with the Senate, although I was suggested you might want to check with the Minneapolis Police Department and see what their policy says. Well, funny story. The Minneapolis Police Department's policy and procedure manual is all online. At least I believe this is the one. Section 5100, Code of Conduct, and under that it's 5-101-1, truthfulness. The integrity of police service is based on truthfulness. Officers shall not willfully or knowingly make an untruthful statement, verbally or written, or knowingly omit pertinent information pertaining to his or her official duty as a Minneapolis police officer. Guilty as charged. We have a violation of the code of conduct. Indeed. Oh, I'll also throw in there, just in case, you know. So let's go to Section 5-105, Professional Code of Conduct. Section B, and this is -2, employees shall conduct themselves in the buildings and offices of the department in a manner which would be not discredit the department. Employees shall be decorous in their language and conduct, shall refrain from action or warrants that would be discredit to the department. Well, oopsie. That's B5, by the way. Oopsies. At the very least, Anna Hedberg should be getting getting written up at the office for code of conduct violations for lying to the Senate about hearing this. Because once again, I was in the command post and I heard it. I heard the governor say, give it up. You did not hear that, you lying sack of oil. I mean, you did not hear that, Anna. Anna, you did not hear that because the governor never called that night. Now, the question I have is, were you coordinating this testimony with anyone in the Senate, namely a Republican, to try to make the big, bad, mean governor look worse? Because he didn't call. And at the very least, I mean, we could maybe make an argument that you are a lobbyist as a union head for the union. Henceforth, you can't lie to the Senate. Oopsies, you just broke the law. But that aside, you violated the code of conduct for Minneapolis police when you lied. You need to be held accountable. You're part of the problem. You need to go away. I would make an argument that most of the people in the city of Minneapolis don't like you. They sure don't like Bob Kroll. And maybe, just maybe, instead of just sitting there and flipping everyone off verbally with this, well, we're not going to dismiss the union leadership and we'll listen to some things they say, but we're going to stay in place. Maybe, just maybe, you guys should just all leave, because no, you're not going to turn this around. No one tomorrow is going to be like, you know what, let's give Anna Hedberg a second chance. No one's going to say, hey, Bob Kroll, boy, were we wrong. No. No one's going to do that. You're jerks. You treat the people you're supposed to protect and serve like they're criminals. All of them. You're disgusting. You should not be police officers, and you sure as hell should no longer be involved in the city of Minneapolis. But keep going. Keep doing this. I am a trained chimp, and I just tracked down that you violated your code of conduct by lying to the Senate. I didn't need anyone to hoops and things. I just did this on my own via reading. Keep it up. And then you can I'm sure that there, after this whole thing is over, some Trump supporters will give you hugs and say, those meanie liberals, those meanie pants, and you can feel consoled. But the reality is, you're not going to win this. You needed to be contrite. You were being jackasses. And, you know, frankly, the longer this goes on and the longer you guys keep making more mistakes, and the reality is pulled aside to see the real true inner workings of the Minneapolis Police Department, the more the argument of shut them down makes a heck of a lot more sense. It's starting to. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I'll take a break. Come on back. I'm way late at this point. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
And the glow from that fire can truly light the world.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your internet marketing can do for you, but what you can do for your marketing.
Hi, this is Chad Hobart with Social Media MN. Coronavirus has challenged every small business owner. What you can do for your internet marketing today will likely determine how your business pivots and recalibrates to find and retain new customers online. Social Media MN offers uncomplicated, results-driven, and affordable internet marketing solutions. Call us today for a hassle-free consultation at 763-244-4058. That's 763-244-4058. Or visit us online at socialmediamn.com. That's socialmediamn.com.
Not only does Rudy Luther Toyota have a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota certified used vehicle dealers in the country. They have better prices than many non-certified dealers, and all their vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and reconditioning process. And Rudy Luther pays you top dollar for your trade-in, even if you don't buy a vehicle from them. Whether looking for an upgrade or looking to get rid of a car you no longer need, you'll get a great return with Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
During July, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is offering $700 off new energy-efficient air conditioners with payments as low as $50 a month or 0% financing. No doubt that's a great offer, but is it a hot deal or cool savings? Either way, you'll be escaping the latest summer heat wave in cool comfort. Find out more about these great savings on a new air conditioner at standardheating.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve since 1930.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Thank you very much, members. We sure do appreciate all you members being so membery. Oh, we do like that. You can sponsor AM 950 by basically going over to am950radio.com. Click on the membership section, the sponsorship section, and donate either a one-time donation or you can do it every month. We do appreciate that. Get you access to special members-only content, which is super slick. You won't find that content anywhere else. And also, as well, you help make sure that Progressive Radio stays on the air in Minneapolis, St. Paul through the 2020 election cycle. So once again, head on over to am950radio.com for more information about that. Thank you very much to Douglas in St. Paul, Thomas in Ramsey, Celia in Maple Grove, Linda in St. Paul, Michael in Minnetonka, Steve in Mankato, Michael in Albuquerque, New Mexico, David in Brooklyn Park, Nancy in Rochester, Jeffrey in Bloomington, Olga in Minneapolis, and Mark in Richfield. Thank you very much, guys. We appreciate all the members there. Connie is in Robbinsdale, has been holding. Welcome on in, Condi. Thanks for holding.
Thank you. Big respect, Matt. I've really been enjoying listening to your commentaries these past couple of days, and Gazelka's name keeps coming up. But first, I called to ask you, what was the motivation of the white guy from Brainerd charged with torching the third precinct? Was he protesting police brutality? Was he an arsonist who wanted to do some arson? What was his motivation? I'd never heard.
We're talking about the guy that was from rural Minnesota that was out there. And thanks, you, Connie. I'm not sure exactly what the charge was for him. I know this, and I said this, for all the people out there that did the stuff, they have the video of you. They're going to come knocking on the door. You know, I always say there was one image particularly of the Target store over off of 55 and Lake Street, where there is a guy there with like six big plasma screen TVs waiting for his buddy to drive over there with a car so that they could take them home. And I said, you know, in this guy's face is like, okay, they're not going to – the guy that stole the bottle of Advil, they're not going to necessarily spend a lot of time on trying to track that guy down. But they're going to come knocking on your door. I'm just going to let you know. So I'm sure that there's a not only local but state and federal prosecutors are looking at a lot of the cases there and finding out what they're going to be charged with on that level. Let's go to the Minnesota update for today on coronavirus because I want to get to – there's a few different things I want to mention here before we get to the end of the show. Confirmation on Friday of another 669 COVID-19 cases in Minnesota, well above its target threshold for case growth and above the level which New York imposes travel restrictions. The Minnesota Department of Health reported in additional cases on Friday, along with seven deaths, bringing the death toll in Minnesota to 1,533. All of the deaths reported Friday involved people 60 or older, underscoring how risks of age for people affected by the coronavirus that causes COVID-19. Among the 24,493 people, 39 are younger with known cases in Minnesota. Only 13 have died. Among the 4,549 people 70 or older with the known cases, 1,236 have died, a rate of 27%. So you would say to yourself, what these numbers say to you is, boy, we sure should be careful because one in four elderly people die. Even a little worse than one in four elderly people die of coronavirus if they get it. One would say, boy, that's enough motivation to try to save these people. But come on, Matt, it's the economy, Matt. They're old. And yeah, you kind of get the idea. 30 of 51 known cases of COVID-19 among people 100 and older have ended in fatalities. Over half the people 100 and older that have gotten it have died. Once again, the greatest generation. We look at the people as the greatest generation. We even have we've had news networks dedicate hours of time to the greatest generation. And why don't these young whippersnappers respect the greatest generation? They have a great exhibit when it's back open again over at the Minnesota History Museum about the greatest generation. They should be respected. They sure as heck shouldn't be basically, Grandma and Grandpa, we're putting you on the Viking ship. We're going to set it ablaze and push it out in the water. Good luck. But we got to get the Arby's back open again. So sorry. You've got to go. While growth in cases in COVID-19 has largely been in younger adults and teenagers in Minnesota over the last month, health officials are concerned that these people could spread the virus to other at greater risk due to their age and underlying health conditions, such as diabetes and heart disease. That pattern is surfaced this summer in other southern and western states. For now, at least, hospitalization levels continue to remain in the lowest since the mid-April in Minnesota. State on Friday reported 252 people with COVID-19 in Minnesota hospitals, including 110 who needed intensive care. So, once again, we're doing better in the hospitalization rate. We've got, if you're 100 and older, it's 50% chance, over a 50% chance you're going to die. If you're 70 and older, it is over a 1 in 4% chance. 1 in 4, you're going to die. 1 in 4%. No, it's 1 out of every 4 people 70 and older dies of coronavirus. It would seem to me that this would be a very good reason to try to wear face masks and stuff. But once again, there's a story I want to there's a Bluestem Prairie story. Now, the story is about these Republicans that showed up in at the White House for this dog and pony show rally that Trump, had there, where he talked about, gutting national environmental policy. And amongst the people from the Minnesota delegation who were there at this event, it was Rosso Republican Dan Fabian, the minority leader of the House Environmental Natural Resources Division, who's basically vowed, he talked in the Bluestem Prairie story about how he's vowing to get rid of all environmental laws, blah, blah, blah. There's a photo here of him with Fabian, Mary Kiffmeyer of Big Lake, Senator Majority Leader Paul Gazelka, Senator John Jasinski, Senator Kerry Rood, and Senator Andrew Matthews, all Republicans. All Republicans out there at that photo op in front of the White House. Do you know what none of them are wearing? That's right, a face mask. Not a single one of them is wearing a face mask. I don't know how your brains are so freaking broken that you can basically take something like a face mask. I got one right here. Had to wear it into the station here. Let me pop it on for a second here. Show that I can be safe just like the rest of us. I sound a little muffled, but, it's really – this is how I sound every Saturday night. I mean, nothing. Anyway, I don't know why you turn this into some sort of owning the libs by not wearing one. No, we're trying to save you. All the people you see wearing a mask, they're courteous, kind people. Many of them living Christian values of caring for their fellow man. That's what we're doing. We know that if we wear a mask, there's a lot less likely chance that you are going to get sick. That's how it works. You being jerks and not wearing masks is not about your liberties. It's just you have convinced yourself that, there you go. Well, I got my plexiglass. I got 2 plexiglass shields between me and Patrick. I think we're okay. But you basically, because you have converted this into some sort of owning the libs because I don't have my face mask on. You're idiots. You're freaking idiots. I don't want you to die. I don't want Paul Gazelka to die. I don't want Mary Kiffmeyer to die. I don't want guys like Jim Hagedorn to die, who has a pre-existing health conditions. I want you guys to live. That's why all the rest of us are trying to be nice people. You're being the jerks. And you hear me say this, and, I get it. It makes you feel warm inside. It gives you your jollies. It gives you that excitement to hear Matt's upset because we're not wearing face masks. It's not because you're owning me. It's because you're idiots. And I don't want you to die. You're planes, trains, and automobiles. I'm the guy in the car on the other side of the highway going the right direction and saying, you're going the wrong way. And you're looking at us going, ooh, look at him. He's drunk. He's over there. He's riding on the wrong side of the highway. You're going the wrong way, for God's sakes. And this idea of owning the libs, I was looking at the evangelicals. By the way, if you ever want to know the true motivation of the evangelicals who support Trump, it's not Christian values. It's not Christian faith. It's owning the libs. And I'll give you a great example of this. In California, the evangelicals are suing the governor because they want to be able to sing in church. How dare you not allow us to sing? Now, we have had case after case after case of people singing in open forums, whether that's choirs or churches, and the people get sick on a much higher rate. But we've had that happen. And so we know that that's not a safe thing to do. Yet here they are. Do they think that people are going to be like, I was thinking about not going to church today, but you know what? I've never been to church. I'm going to go to this evangelical church because in a pandemic, they've gotten the right to sing. No one's going to come to your church. Heck, most of your own parishioners are going to stay away from you at this point. This is not, you know, if your argument is about, well, we're wanting to encourage people to be Christian, you want to encourage – no, the only people that are going to show up are that 10 to 20% of every parish who are the over-the-top people that never miss a service, are always there. That's the only people you're talking to. So it's not about what's best for your Christian community. It sure is not about getting more people in the pews. As, you know, attendance to Christian churches across the country has gotten lower and lower and lower. It's only about you guys owning the libs. We can't sing because it might get everyone sick. Well, we'll show you. Dude, you guys, that is all you guys are about. It's owning the libs. And you know, to your own detriment, I said this, I'll say it again. Republicans hate Democrats more than they love their country, their job, their health care, their kids, the military, their community, their grandparents, and the United States of America. The only thing that matters to them is owning the libs. They will gladly go down and sink on the Titanic as long as they're 10 feet higher on the deck than libs and get to watch them drown first. That is who the Republican Party is. That is who these evangelicals are. That is who all these people are. This is not about trying to get upset because you're owning us. I'm trying to save your freaking worthless lives, for God's sakes. And if you're stupid enough to throw them away, I can't help you, damn it. Put on a damn mask, you children. Dear Lord. Gary is in Minneapolis. Hi, Gary. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Matt?
All right, man.
I'm going to have that art sale coming up sometime in September.
Hopefully, and well, social distancing.
I'm going to give you so you don't have to buy any.
Okay, that's nice of you, but I don't mind buying you. You do some very good art there, Gary.
I got one at home here. It's not in the sale. I did recently at home.
Is it something that
you said in the air. I know you'll like it, I think.
Is it a naked self-portrait?
No, not that.
Okay, good. Well, I'll talk to you about that price later on.
We got to have some decency. We can't be like Republicans. Rotten Ronnie said years ago, get the government off the rich people's back. Of course, he forgot to say rich. And I'd like to ask these authoritarian pollers that put this authoritarian party in power, why don't you like government? You don't like clean roads, safe roads. You don't like clean water. You don't want to regulate these corporate bosses or... And then these Republicans, these authoritarian parties, they're the reason our government's having so much trouble now.
Well, Gary, I'm going to step in on there because I'm at the end of the show. Thanks, Gary. I'll tell you what, we'll leave with Gary on this. I'll get to the music here in just a second. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Minuteman Press Uptown is still open and printing everything. But they are taking some extra precautions. You can order by phone or online and do curbside pickup. Plus, they're offering 25% off all postcards right now for AM 950 listeners in need. That's Minuteman Press Uptown.
To say your home has been lived in these last few months is probably an understatement. Have you assessed the damage? Call the expert cleaners at Zero Res. Just mention AM950 when you call and take $50 off your duct cleaning. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com.
Hi, I'm John Peters, and I am the endorsed DFL candidate challenging Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka. If you're concerned about affordable health care, livable wages, the environment, education, and Minnesota infrastructure, and believe we need a change, I need your help. Unfortunately, I fell behind in fundraising because I contracted COVID-19 in late May and wasn't up on my feet until late June. Now I need to raise $3,000 in small donations of $50 or less by July 20th. Times are tough, but if you are able to and would like to help me defeat Senator Gazelka, go to AJP4MNSenate.org and make a donation for $50 or less. Your donation, made by July 20th, will generate public option funds from the state for my campaign. That's AJP4MNSenate.org. Thank you for your support. Paid for by the A. John Peters for MN Senate Committee.
Seriously, just wear a mask. I mean, how in the world did you guys get this stupid? I mean, would you literally tolerate a doctor or nurse in your operating room not wearing a mask because they just don't want to wear one? Of course not. And if you would never tolerate that, then you should, during a pandemic, for the safety of the greatest generation and anyone who has a pre-existing condition, put on a damn mask, you fools. All right. Patrick, I think we're going to go back to the 80s. There was a band called Hip Sway that put on a song called The Honey Thief. This will take us on out today. Have a good one. We are back on a Monday. Nice weekend. Until Monday, see ya.
Sleepy cat, Bible honeysuckle eye, will never do not well. The lie of people bear, let me see what I don't get. The lie of people bear, let me see what I don't pass me through the heat. Come on, come on, and pass through the heat. Catch a thief, a honey thief. I'm a thief, a honey thief. To satisfy.